Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 7 of E4 2019. It's the Yubi show. I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
It's 10:20 and I'm awake.
I know.
I love this. This is freaking awesome.
Yes, it is fantastic. So like I said, the focus of this one is going to be the UB show. So before we jump into the news from it, which was a fairly newsy conference, I would just love to hear your general thoughts. What did you think of the UB show?
I think UB, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but you always think I'm crazy. So
that's
whatever. UB has the spectacle this year at E3. Okay, like we said, the Microsoft conference was good, but they didn't really have, other than Cyberpunk, they didn't really have the spectacle. UB had the spectacle because of the software that they showed off, and then the people that they had on stage, and the orchestra,
yes.
And the other thing that. The Just Dance thing, I can't believe I'm saying that, but that was a show.
It was
right?
A show.
Like, that was a show, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. I feel like UB has been the most consistent over the past several years, even with, what's-her-face? I forget her name every single year. That's not...
Alicia
Tyler.
Alicia Tyler, yeah.
Yeah. Even without the kind of celebrity host thing, which I'm also fine with them not having the celebrity host thing, like they're still just consistently feels like a solid press conference. They have good software. They show it off well. They usually include gameplay. Like you get a real sense of what they're doing. They seem to have the formula down better. I feel like than just about anybody else. And the fact that like there's always Just Dance as part of it. And, like, I'm never going to play Just Dance. I have zero interest. But you're right. It was entertaining. Like, it was a fun little, like, break in the middle of the show. Just to, like, oh, here's the dance montage. Cool, cool. You know? And then back into games. And so, yeah, I agree. I think the UB's just been solid for a while now. And they have good games. That's obviously a big help. If you have good games, that's going to take you a long way. So let's walk through the UB show. The biggest thing is right at the top, and so we'll spend quite a bit of time talking about this. Again, no like super huge announcements. This Watch Dogs one right here at the top was leaked a couple of days before E3, and so everybody knew it was coming. Not that it wasn't still noteworthy, but nothing like super shocking in this. The last game, the new IP that they announced, is kind of surprising. We'll talk about that too. But let's start with Watch Dogs. So they announced Watch Dogs Legion, which takes place in London, which is super cool. I've mentioned my desire for Grand Theft Auto to go to London. Well, if they're not going to do it, I'm happy with Watch Dogs going to London. And so having an open world game in London is going to be great, I hope. But here's the trick with Watch Dogs Legion, where the name comes from. What they're doing with this game, it just boggles my mind. You don't have, as far as I can tell, like a main character. Every NPC in the game is playable. Like, you can recruit any NPC in the game to play as. And then you can go and do quest lines and recruit people and put together teams and all that kind of stuff. And then, on top of all that, it appears that, like, if you die with whatever NPC you're playing, that NPC is just dead. Like, it's permadeath. Like, you killed the guy, and now he's gone. You gotta go find somebody else. And, like, the world, like, responds to that. It's really, really ambitious.
Okay, so we played Watch Dogs.
Yes.
We liked Watch Dogs.
Yes.
I played Watch Dogs, too, a little bit.
Yep.
And thought it was okay, not enough to put more than 10 hours into it, but just, you know, it's all right. This thing is a whole other level. Because what I'm wondering about this is, as you said, every NPC in the game is recruitable. And the interesting thing is that every NPC apparently has different skill sets.
Yeah.
Of different things that they can do. So the way that they posed this is, you can play the game how you want to play the game. And the issue with Watch Dogs that I struggle with is, I love the hacking aspect of it. I love that. I love the strategery and all that jazz. But where I struggle is the, hey, we're hacking, now let's pull out a gun and get on a bike and do all of that. And I really, really struggle with the action stuff because I'm playing on a mouse and keyboard.
Sure.
So I got to thinking, is there a way that I can play this game all the way through, like, strategically, and get around guards and get in fence and do like a Deus Ex sneak around kind of a thing, and
yeah,
maybe not really have to do a whole lot of combat? That's what I'm curious about, and it's why I really want to play this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree on all points. It also, like, so Watch Dogs and Watch Dogs 2, I feel like, are very different games, even though they both use, like, the hacking mechanic in a very similar way. I really enjoyed both of them, but didn't finish Watch Dogs 2 either, but played a good chunk of Watch Dogs 2. And Watch Dogs 2 took itself much less seriously. Like, the original game was really kind of dark and atmospheric, whereas the second one was, like, these very over-the-top characters. And, like, I didn't necessarily like one approach better than the other. I thought they were both good, and I appreciated the difference between them. Looking at this one so far, it feels maybe more like the original Watch Dogs in tone, but with some still kind of over-the-top ridiculousness. So, like, one of the things that they showed off was, like, taking control of, like, this grandma NPC and then, like, beating down this dude with the grandma. And, like, even in, like, the kind of serious tone of the presentation, like, that's still kind of over-the-top and not taking itself too seriously. And so maybe they've kind of got a good balance on that side of things. My worry, going back to the original Watch Dogs, because this feels to me so reminiscent of when they showed off Watch Dogs for the first time and everybody lost their mind about how cool it looked. And it was a perfectly fine game, but it didn't live up to that expectation. Where in the original Watch Dogs, the gimmick was kind of the hacking thing. Like, you can make all this stuff happen in the world, and it's like this, you know, like, you're controlling everything. And yeah, that's kind of how the game worked, but it wasn't, like, we talked about this with the Jedi Fallen Order demo, how they kept talking about the guy who was playing it was, like, well-rehearsed and an expert gamer and all this kind of stuff. And that's kind of what that first Watch Dogs playthrough felt like, was, like, it was somebody who very much rehearsed this scene over and over and over and over to make it look as cool as possible, when in reality, when you just pick up a controller and play it, it never plays out that way. Like, it's just not that fluid. I think that same thing could happen here.
And that's what I'm talking about the whole actioning aspect of it. Like,
yeah,
anytime that I have the chance, if I can get around some guards or I can sneak in and not be seen, I'm going to do that every time. I don't know if that's realistically an option here. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because I'm not real good at the whole cover base thing.
Sure.
So, if it plays like they intimate that it's going to play, then I'm all good with it. Like, I want to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it's going to be fun.
The other thing that we haven't really brought up, you brought it up earlier, is the environment in which you're playing. I love this idea.
Yeah.
Like, it's London, it's English people, it's the quirky sense of humor. Plus, you got this Jarvis-like computer running everything.
Yeah.
Which made me freaking smile. This, if they do it correctly, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is a couple of big questions I have about how you pull it off, how you do it correctly. They talked about, like, the fact that, like, every character... So, first of all, I have to say, like, the thing is, like, every NPC is playable, but surely that's not true, because there have to be some NPCs that, like, are integral to storyline that you can't, like, kill off accidentally or whatever, you know, or enemies or whatever it is. Like, there's got to be some limitations to that, which is perfectly fine. If you still give me a massive cadre of NPCs that we can pull from, then by all means. But...
Wait, hold up, back up. Uh-huh. A massive cadre?
You like that?
That's really good. Like, that's really early, but that's a nice word, dude.
I appreciate that.
That's sweet. Okay, continue.
So the idea, the question I have then is, like, what happens if you kill off everybody that you can play? Like, you get into a situation where you run out of people? Like, does, like, you just lose the game? I don't know. But they were talking about, I was going to mention this, like, they've said, like, they've developed, like, routines and lives and stories for all these NPCs so far in that, like, if there's a couple in the game, a husband and wife or a dating couple or whatever, and, like, one of them dies because you play that character and then they die and it's permadeath, like, part of the survivor's, like, routine will become, like, going to the cemetery to visit their grave. And then eventually that person may start dating and you may be running into that survivor, like, out on the town with other NPCs that, again, apparently you can just also recruit them and play as them and get them killed off too. I don't know. Again, the potential here is insane. How well they deliver on that. I think we need to temper our expectations a bit with still saying this can be an incredibly fun game without, like, it being as well executed as maybe they want us to believe it's going to be.
I love the fact that they try these things.
Yes,
100%. And I think that's what we enjoyed about the original Watch Dogs, is that nobody to this day has ever really tried something like what that was and is, except them.
Yeah.
And they're doing it again, and I'm just really, I like it. Because the other stuff that they got, and we're going to get to that in a second with Ghost Recon and some of the other games, the other stuff is very formulaic, and it's very, you know what you're getting, okay? Like, you know what's there. This is the one thing that they put out that they take a risk every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, Watch Dogs, the original, even though it wasn't like everything that original showcase of it promised, it was still darn fun. And that mechanic, the hacking mechanic thing, is really cool. Like, just the gameplay was fun because of that, even if it got repetitive at times. Like, it's still, that's what could happen here. This, like, recruiting NPCs, like, after you do it 20 or 30 times, you may be like, whatever, I just need a dude to go complete a mission. Like, I don't care anymore, which will be fine. Like, it's still a cool mechanic, and so we'll see. Release date for it is March 6th, 2020. I just, really quickly, just three games off the top of my head that are, like, absolute must-plays that are basically within a month of each other. It's this, March 6th. Final Fantasy VII Remake, we got a release date for, and we'll talk about that more later, but I think it's March 3rd, if I'm remembering correctly off the top of my head. And then, of course, Cyberpunk is April. And so, like, all of a sudden, like, 2020 is just packed.
Okay, let me say again, we're halfway through the show. We got to say hi to our Patreon guys.
Absolutely.
Because we need your money and we need more time. I made a joke yesterday about the fact that when Cyberpunk comes out, that Tommy and I are going to lock ourselves in a room for a week and do nothing. But let's be honest, with these three titles, we're looking at locking ourselves in a room for 2 months.
Yeah.
And for me to convince him to take off work for that long, we need lots and lots and lots of money.
That's true.
So, yeah. Hi, guys.
Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. As always, thank you guys a ton. If you want to help make our dreams come true, go by GamingUncensored.com. Click on that Become a Patron link at the top of the page. As promised, patron content is coming, and so we'll probably be talking about some of this UB stuff in there because there's just a ton of it. So quickly to get through. Go ahead.
We'll tell you, we have not mentioned, we keep talking about Patreon content, we have not mentioned something that I know we're going to do, which is the roundtable at some point for E3. That's always fun. You want to pay attention to that, and those guys will probably be in a real good mood after like 6 days of listening to us beg for money, but we're just so excited.
Yes.
We're just so excited. That's all it is. We're really, really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. Other things that came up during the UB show, a couple of TV and movie things I'll just mention here really quickly. First of it is the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia team is doing a TV show that's called Mythic Quest. That's like about the development of an MMO through a comedy lens or whatever. That
it's the Office means it's the Office meets Game Dev.
It did kind of feel that way, and so I want to check it out. It's for Apple TV, which I also found interesting. So we'll see there. The other one is for Netflix, and that is The Division is getting a movie on Netflix. Starring
Jake Gyllenhaal
and what's the woman's name?
I don't know.
Goodness. I'll find it here in just a second. Jessica Chastain, who's phenomenal, just in everything, like in all of these, like similar to The Division type thrillers, and so I'm all on board with that. I think that could be a really, really cool movie. So. That's pretty big name people they got on board. So good for them there, which is, again, random. Wasn't expecting a TV show and a movie out of the UB conference, but we got both. So we also got Rainbow Six information. Rainbow Six Siege is getting new content. And then we also got, we heard about Rainbow Six Quarantine, which will be their next Rainbow Six thing. My cousin, who is in the military, is currently stationed in the UK, loves Rainbow Six. Like, it's just, like, he plays it all the time because he feels like they get it so right. Like, he just really digs that franchise. And so I know it's a big deal. I know it's not one that you and I put a lot of time into, but people will play tons and tons of Rainbow Six.
Well, and here's... Rainbow Six has been a big deal for a long time, and we don't put a lot of time into it, again, because we're not good at it.
Absolutely.
we're just not. But to hear a guy in the military say, hey, this is authentic, that makes me happy to know they're doing something right, because it was really rough getting started. But now they're way past getting started, and I think it's really starting to get good. This new one that they're doing is a completely different IP in the Rainbow Six universe. And so who knows about that? Because I don't know how much military tactic-y type stuff is going to be in this one.
Yeah.
Because you're infected with some weird right. something, and there's... Yeah. there's zombies and like I don't really know.
It's a very different approach to Rainbow Six for sure.
Yeah, not sure about this one, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Same realm, we got more of a look at Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which is really, really pretty. John Bernthal came out, who is the Punisher. That's forever who he'll be for me at this point. He was also Sean. Isn't that the guy's name from The Walking Dead?
Shane.
Thank you. Yeah. Shane. He was Shane from The Walking Dead at the very beginning of The Walking Dead TV show all the way back when. But he is the Punisher. Like, he's just dominated that role. And so now all I can think of with Ghost Recon Breakpoint is, ooh, I get to play as the Punisher. You know, like, which kind of fits. It's pretty close. And so that kind of sounds like fun. He came out on stage with a dog.
I'm gonna kill you. Yeah.
Ghost Recon.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I gotta ask about the dog because you just mentioned that. And he brings this dog out and he introduces this dog, and the dog's just there. So like, I keep expecting that he's gonna do something with this dog, and he just sort of does his thing and then walks off with the dog, and I'm like, only in California. Like, only in California. I have no idea what the point of that was.
Yep.
No idea. Like, I don't understand.
Yep.
But, okay. I mean, I guess when you've been the Punisher, you just got to do whatever.
Hey, man. Yeah, do what you want.
But,
it works, so. Then going now to the Division, and so all the Tom Clancy stuff. The Division is both will have a free to play this weekend, which is cool. And so if you haven't tried out the Division 2, specifically Division 2, that's a good chance to check it out. And then they talked about updates for it. That there'll be episode 1 that's coming really soon is here. I don't remember which. Episode 2 will be this fall, and then episode 3 will be sometime next year. But just adding content, and by all means, again, not one that we've played around with at this point, but it sounds like they got the Division 2 right. The Division was another one of those kind of what Yubi does with all the hype, and then it didn't quite live up to it. The Division 2 feels like it made up for that, and as far as I've heard of people who are playing it, it's really pretty beloved.
I think it's really good because they took all the things that didn't work in the Division, and it seems like they've really adjusted it.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they're putting the money into making a movie and making this a multifaceted franchise, it's got to be doing something right. So yeah. I'm all about that. Plus, they got a free-to-play week this week. So that's really cool, too.
Yeah, that's a big deal, and that seems so wise to me. Let people try your game, and if they dig it, you know, get their money. But that's a good way to expand the user base with what seems to be very little risk. You know, like, people who are only going to play it for those 3 days and not come back to it aren't people you're ever going to get their money in the first place. And so it only seems like it's a way to get more people in the game. So. Yubi also announced their own subscription service, and so now we've got Uplay Plus, which is not the easiest thing to say. It'll be $15 a month. Gives you access to a bunch of games, obviously, including new releases. That's the big thing at this point, is whether or not these subscription services give you access to new releases as they're coming out. Will be available on PC come September, and will also be compatible with Stadia. Obviously, Uplay and Google have been Ubi and Google have been partnering a lot with the Stadia stuff, with Project Stream being Assassin's Creed. Phil Harrison was even in the audience at the Ubi show, which was cool. So. We'll see what happens there. Man, $15 a month at this point for another subscription service just seems like a lot, doesn't it? At some point, we run out of money to put into all these subscriptions.
We got like 18 minutes before Nintendo starts, and I think we're about to use all of it because I want to discuss this with you.
Yep.
I don't know how smart this is. Like, I've just spent the last hour, well, not the last hour, but the last period here ranting about how good this press conference was and how on point they were.
Yep.
I don't really understand this because I know that Microsoft Game Pass for PC is not going to be $5 a month forever. They're going to go up.
Yep.
And I know that as far as that's concerned, $15 a month is the top of my limit for that, right? Like, yeah. If it goes to 15, like, that's all that I am able to pay. And I certainly can't really give UB 15 to do the same thing. And I don't really understand how it benefits, like, how many people do they realistically think they're gonna get, like, do you understand this? Because I don't really get it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, because this is PC only, and Ubi's not a PC only company. In fact, I still consider most Ubi games more console games than PC games. And so it feels like it's a fairly small portion of their audience that would be utilizing this, and it feels like a bad price point. And it feels like they're late to the game. Like, it just, like, everybody else already has one of these, you know, and they're announcing theirs too. It also raises some red flags to me in conjunction with Stadia, because we already know details on Stadia, that Stadia is going to have their pro service that's $10 a month. But if Ubi's also putting their $15 a month service on top of that, it doesn't sound like you're probably getting Ubi games on the $10 a month Stadia thing, you know, or at least not all of them. So if you want to play new stuff on Stadia from Ubi, you are looking at either assuming that the $15 a month UB thing works with the base Stadia that you don't have to play for. You're looking at $15 a month. If you have to have the pro, you're looking at $25 a month then with Stadia Pro and with UB Plus. And that's, again, it starts piling up. And so I love UB games. I'm going to play UB games. I don't at this point see myself paying $15 a month to play UB games, especially Game Pass is going to get our money. We know that one. PlayStation Plus isn't stopping getting our money anytime soon. We know that one. You know, like, again, there's limited resources for these subscription services, and I look forward to the day that potentially we see some significant consolidation amongst them. And what does UB do on consoles? Do they look to partner with Microsoft and Sony on their subscription services? Do they try to do their own? I don't know. But yeah, it didn't get me excited.
And I wonder, I didn't think about it until I saw this last night, but I wonder where the tipping point is that this whole games and services thing backfires on everybody.
Yeah.
And it causes a significant industry problem. Because people like us look at it and go, we can't pay for all this. Like, we love games, but we can't pay for all this. This is something that if you're not careful, I believe, not us, and I'm not condoning this, but I believe if you're not real careful, this is something that drives people back to piracy.
Yeah.
You start looking at it, you're like, I can't pay for all these services. I just can't. And so what do? You go find the games.
Yeah.
And trust me, they're still out there.
Yeah. And they always will be. Again, it's about convenience. That's the thing that helps stem that for sure. And on the same in the same vein, I have a question about the content creator side of things. And we've seen that in both music and in movies.
How do those people get money? Like. Yeah.
Somehow it's still working because we've got Spotify, we've got Netflix, we've got Hulu, and we're still getting tons of content, music-wise, movie-wise, television shows. Like the economy hasn't, the bubble hasn't popped yet, but it feels like there's a bubble, and it feels like the game industry is going, ooh, we want to be part of that bubble too, and eventually that bubble pops, and what happens after that, you know, and that's an argument where. Consolidation may not happen because then we need all these separate kind of entities out there just to stay viable to spread that money around. But if the consumers only have so much budget for that anyway, the thing is depending on what you want to play, if you're savvy, you're just going to have like rotating subscriptions. You're going to have UB 1 month and then you're going to have EA the next month and then you're going to have Game Pass the next month or whatever, you know. And so you got $30 budgeted for this and you're just paying $30 a month. But you have to keep up with it. Like you have to unsubscribe and resubscribe and all that kind of stuff. What all these companies are hoping for is you're just going to sign up and forget about it and then just, you know, keep on their service. Or, you know, UB will have this $15 a month thing or they'll give you a year at $12 a month and you'll go, oh, I'll just go ahead and sign up for a year. And then the next year and the next year and the next year just keeps coming out of your bank and you never think about it. And yeah, there you are. They're getting your money. And
that to me, that the annual plan to me is the key because I can't pay $15 a month, but I might be able to pay 10 or 8 or like if I can do an annual plan and get a discount. And I hate continually going back to the EA Vault, but that's what got me on the EA Vault was when I went annual, that was literally half the price.
Yeah, that's why.
Literally half the price.
And you do when you do that is you take away that flexibility on the consumer side to pick it up and drop it. But if you do it at a low enough price, like I'm willing to give that up, you know, there's a balance.
Yes.
There. So,
yes.
Yeah. At the end of the day, as much as I really like UB, I don't see myself paying for the subscription here. We'll see. In 2 years, all these things are going to get thrown on their heads and change and everything else. Who knows? But the idea of subscription based gaming is here. It's not going away. And that's in the next few years, I would imagine is going to be the prominent way that we're playing games, just like Netflix and Hulu are the prominent ways that I watch television and movies, and Spotify is the prominent way I listen to music. Like, that's where we are. It doesn't make any sense that games wouldn't go that direction when the rest of the entertainment industry has.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Two more game announcements for you really quick from UB. One is a roller derby game called Roller Champions. That's like roller derby with a ball and a goal, and I don't entirely get it, but it kind of looks fun. It makes me think of Rocket League, of like just this ridiculous concept of like RC car soccer. That's actually a blast to play. Like, I could see this just being really fun to play. Like, the concept just working well enough that it's just fun, even though, like, I don't have any connection to roller derby. Like, it's a neat enough idea that it could still get me.
And you can play the demo today just to check it out. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, which is great. And then lastly, the new IP that they announced is called Gods and Monsters. It is done by the Assassin's Creed Odyssey team. And it looks very much like, and we got this news again in a leak before the UB show, in these terms, it's Breath of the Wild meets Assassin's Creed. Like, it just feels like those two games mashed together. It's all about mythology, but the character looks a lot like Link. The world has the same kind of art style as Breath of the Wild. Assassin's Creed Odyssey has kind of the scale and scope of Breath of the Wild, and so it feels derivative, but it's derivative of one of my favorite games of all time, and one of the best games of the past year. And so if they pull it off, like, it could be really cool. It could be really fun. I don't know if they pull it off, but I'm interested in seeing more of it.
Absolutely. I have no idea what's going to be what with that, but sure, I'll check it out.
Yeah. We're about to watch the Nintendo conference, and so Nintendo, give me more Breath of the Wild. I highly doubt that's going to happen, but I would dig that. But if Nintendo's not going to give me more Breath of the Wild, hey, Yubi, give me some Breath of the Wild, you know, like, whatever. Like, I'm kind of jonesing for it, and so fill in that gap. I'm all for that, so who knows? I feel is probably not going to be, you know, Breath of the Wild level game, but it could be fun. It looks like it could be a cool title, so we'll see what happens with it. It didn't feel like it had tons of fanfare, you know, like it wasn't like this massive announcement at the end that they really played up. It was kind of a quick premiere trailer thing, and then they were done. So we'll see as they're talking more about it. But it comes, get this, the 25th of February 2020, and so Gods and Monsters, a week later we get Final Fantasy, a week later we get Watch Dogs, a month later we get Cyberpunk, and there's other games in there I'm missing that are also big deals. And so, again, 2020 is just going to be packed.
We need the Kevin Durant contract so that we can take all of 2020 off. That's all I'm saying. Because dude blew out his Achilles and he's still going to get paid.
Yeah, God.
That's all I'm saying.
Really quick, now this is turning into a thing. On the last episode, I checked Twitter during the show just to see what was going on and found random Elon Musk thing. This one might beat it. This comes from the PC Games in Twitter account. I'm going to read the tweet to you verbatim. Can you have sex with Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077? ? CD Projekt says, quote, "We don't want to share too much."
What?
So leaving the door open for that. So there you go.
I wish you could see the look on my face. Because I like Keanu. I really do.
Yep.
But yep. That's awkward.
Yep. Yep.
That's like, dude. Just dude. No. Okay, let me just finish it off right here. No naked Keanu, please.
Please. Yeah, please.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we gotta go watch Nintendo now.
Yes. So, you know where all the stuff is. I'm not doing that because we're out of time. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. It's E4, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.